This morning, I want to bring a message to you. I believe the Lord has given me a message, if he'd give me the grace to preach it. In our opening passage this morning, what solemn words we heard, that there was a feast and that many were called to that feast, but few were chosen. In that passage of Scripture, we've seen that a man come to the feast and he had no garment. And the Lord looked at him and said, "Take him, bound him, and cast him into outer darkness." This man who showed up at this feast, he had no righteousness. And at the conclusion of this, our reading, he concludes with this: "For many are called, but few are chosen." What solemn words. What solemn words are these? Many are called, but few are chosen. I think of Judas. Judas was called to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as a disciple. But we find at the end that Judas was not chosen. That Judas was a son of perdition. And does that not cause you, and does that not cause me, to look at myself and say, "Oh, my soul, many are called, but few are chosen." If you would, turn with me over to Matthew chapter 7. Or turn back to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 13. And let's read these words. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it." Many are called, but few are chosen. Those that enter the broad way, they're many. There's a great number. Vast amount of people. Numerous people. But few enter into that way. That narrow way. That door that Bob spoke of this morning in that ark. Christ. Few there be that find Christ. Now look down at verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me," and this is the day of judgment. This is the day of all days. This is the day that every man stands before God. "Not every man that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Not every man that saith unto me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not every man. But look at verse 22. Many will say unto me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" These are religious people that are standing before the Lord. These aren't rebel rousers and drunkards and harlots and men who raise all sorts of trouble. These are religious people who are standing before the Lord and saying, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Have we not preached in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many, many wonderful works?" And then I will profess unto them, "I never knew you." How solemn How solemn are these words? And when I read these passages of Scripture, do you not do as I do? Do you not look at these and say, is that I? Many are called. Well, I believe I'm called, but few are chosen. Oh, I hope I'm chosen. I hope I'm one of the chosen. Is the believer to live in uncertainty? Are we to come into this house every Sunday in fear and without any assurance and come in here not knowing if we have a good hope? No. No. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 10 and 11. And as we read it, I want you to notice the contrast and the difference. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What wonderful words. If all I had read was that many are called and few are chosen, then I might fall into despondency. And when I read of those that stand in judgment of that day, it causes me to fear, and I look at that and tremble. But when I read this verse, it's an astounding verse. This verse is telling me that the command is an indication of the ability to do what it's saying. Make your call and election sure. I would never thought you could do that had it not been in this word. Can I go back before the ever the world was and look into the book of life and see if my name is there? No. Then how can I make my election sure? Well, what is this? Let's look at this path. And I've wrote down some things that I want us to look at first. First it says, give diligence to hasten, make haste, to exert oneself, to make your calling. And that calling is an invitation to a feast. We read over in Matthew that there was an invitation to a feast. This calling is that calling. It is an invitation to a feast. It is a divine embrace of God's salvation. Make your calling an election. Your election, the act of picking out. And that is God's act. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I want you to read this for yourself. Back right before Hebrews. And what I'm trying to do this morning is right here from the Word is to find these words from the Scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 13. And this is the Apostle Paul writing, that we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Your election, the act of picking out. God has chosen you to salvation. Election is the act of God's free will by which before the foundation of the world, he decreed his blessings to certain persons. Turn forward just a few pages to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 9. Who hath saved us? Who is this speaking of? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in us, Christ Jesus, before the world began. We are saved, Christ has saved us. Our election is the decree made from choice by which God determined to bless certain persons through Christ alone. And I tell you, what is funny about, I had wrote some of these definitions down, and then I went to the scriptures. And you know what I found? The Bible shines a whole lot of light on dictionaries. The Bible shines a whole lot of light on the commentaries. It really does. This is just as plain as it can be. God has chosen. This term, this Bible, this blessed term of election is God doing the electing. Now, the last thing to look at, make it sure. Our text reads back in 2 Peter chapter 9, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. We make it sure, stable, fast, firm, confidence. And notice the result of this. Ye shall never fall. Ye shall never, never fall. You shall never stand in that day and the Lord say to you, where is thine wedding garment? Ye shall never fall. And an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What an amazing passage of Scripture. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What an amazing passage. But it doesn't seem like this passage is fitting to me. I can see it being for some people, but me? I am such a terrible sinner. I am such a terrible sinner. And shouldn't this passage be for those who are not such a terrible sinner? Well, I doubt more than I rejoice. How can I, who doubt so frequently, who doubts so often, how can I make my calling and election sure? I just don't know the passages. I don't know the scripture. This is for somebody who is aged. This is for somebody who's been in the church for years, who has labored in the gospel, who knows the word of God. This is not for me, a babe. I'm just a new believer. This is for the others. This is who this was written for, you. Let's look back, Peter, at the beginning of this chapter, 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at who is writing this. And then let's look at who it is written to. Verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle, of Jesus Christ. Simon Peter, a bond slave. Simon Peter, I'm just a slave of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that Bob used Peter this morning as our example. The man who wrote this is the man that Bob was talking about this morning. The man who was full of pride, who said, Lord, I will never deny thee. These men may deny thee, but I'll never deny thee. That's the man who's writing to us and telling us to make our calling and election sure. Notice that he introduces himself as just a bondservant. A servant. That word is in reference to the Old Testament, the old slave, the old bondservant who followed his master because he loved his master. And that's who Peter is presenting himself, as a bondservant. It's not Dr. Peter. Not Dr. Peter. Not the theologian Peter. I'm theologian Simon Peter. No. I'm Simon Peter, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. An apostle. Now, why does he tell us he's an apostle? So that you might believe. Because he has been given the authority by the Lord Jesus Christ that he might tell you, I'm a bondservant, and you can make your calling and election sure. And notice who it's written to. The second part of this verse 1, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Who was this written to? To you who believe. It is written to you who believe. Whether you're young or old or have been believing many years or but a few years or a few days. This is to you who believe. So then we ask. I can make my calling and election sure. And according to the scripture, it says that we can. Now the question, how? How can I make my calling and election sure? How? Isn't that the mystery of this verse when we look at it? How? Look with me and please turn to John chapter 7. I want to give you the introduction to this as you turn. John chapter 7. Our setting is the last day of the feast. It is the last day of the Lord's Passover. And ever since the Lord has called Israel out of Egypt. And if you go back into Egypt, and if you remember the Lord's Passover, the lamb, that was the blood was placed on the door, and the night that the angel came through and slayed. Well, from that time forward, every year, the Passover was recognized. It was the biggest event of the year. People would come from miles away into Jerusalem. And it had become a huge religious tradition. And what I kind of see in my mind, a picture I kind of get is, come August, race day, look at Bristol up there. I mean, there's campers everywhere. Well, this Passover, these people come in and there's tents everywhere you look. Every hotel is booked. And the rates were high too. This was a time to bring in the vendors. They would bring the lambs and the doves and the bulls. And you can see the commerce going up and down the roads. You can see the vendors selling. Everything's going on. This was the Lord's Passover. This was the Passover. And it had become nothing but a religious circus. And right in the middle of this religious circus, there stood a lamb. There stood the very Lamb of God. In the middle of this circus stood the Passover lamb. And look at him here in verse 37. And in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood. He looked up and he seen all of these religious people. And his heart broke. And he cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Do you hear the call? Does any man thirst? And I ask you this morning, do you thirst for righteousness? If you thirst for righteousness, Christ has declared and Christ has called, come. That is the call. Come. Come. Are you going to go? No, I wasn't invited. Come. You thirsty? Come. Look over Matthew chapter 11. Let us read verse 28 and 20 through 30. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come. Come unto me, ye that labor. Who are those that labor? Is it not you who has labored to try to please God? You labor under the law. You labor to do good. You labor to please God. Oh, you come up so short, but you labor and you labor and you labor. And you become so weary of the labor. You get so weary, so ashamed, and you labor. Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy, that are labor, and I'll give you rest. This is the call. You're here this morning and you labor under the law and you labor to please God and you can't please him and you're heavy laden. This is the call. Well, I don't really labor. You're not called. This is for he who labors. This is for he who is heavy laden. This is for he that is athirst. I'm not thirsty. You're not called. You're not called. I'm not thirsty. You're not called. According to this book. But if you're thirsty, if you are thirsty for righteousness, if you are heavy under the burden of the law, and you cannot please God, come. That's the call. I can make my calling, sure. But many are called. I cannot look into the book of life and see if my name is there. Many are called, but few are chosen. Do we not still have that anxiety there? Many are called. I'm a sinner. I'm called. I'm first going to tell you how to make your election sure. I'm going to tell you. And then I'm going to show you in the scripture. Then I'm going to tell you what I showed you. And I'm going to do it in that way because I want to make sure that it's clear. I want to tell you. We make our election sure by looking to Christ. That is how we make our election sure. We look to Christ. We look to him as our substitute. And we look to him for all our righteousness. That is how we make our election sure. What is this Lamb's Book of Life? If my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, could I not say I am elect? If I could look in that book and see my name there, I believe we could say I'm elect. Now, the Lamb's Book of Life. Have we done this book any harm by calling it the Substitute's Book of Life? Is it not the Substitute's Book of Life? The Lamb? Remember the Passover Lamb? Remember the Passover Lamb who stood and cried and said, "Come unto me." We make our election sure by looking to Christ as our substitute and for all our righteousness. Election, and I realized this as I began studying this, I thought, you know, election has something to do with substitution. And I kind of knew that. But I got to studying this more and more, and I said, election has everything to do with substitution. It has everything to do with substitution. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 42. Let's look at verse number 1 with me. Behold my servant. Isaiah 42, chapter 1, or chapter 42, verse 1, I'm sorry. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Now, who is this that he is speaking of? My servant, my elect. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the firstborn of many brethren. Christ is the elect. Okay, now turn with me over to Isaiah 26, or turn back to Isaiah 26. And then let's look at verse 20. Now notice the first word, come. You see the calling? Come. Come, my people. Enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a moment until the indignation be past. We are to come, my people. And where are we to hide? We are to hide in Christ the elect. We hide in him until the wrath is past. You see, he is our substitute. He is our hiding place. He is the elect of God, and we hide in him. Come. The call this morning is to come. It is to hide in Christ. It is to hide in mine elect. You know, as I was reading and studying this, and I want you to think about this over time, but, you know, our calling has something to do about our unrighteousness. Who are the called? The called are those that thirst for righteousness, those that have no righteousness. Our calling has something to do with our unrighteousness. You know, our election has something to do with his righteousness. Now just think about that. Our calling has something to do with our unrighteousness, and our election has something to do with his righteousness. Now, turn with me to Numbers 21. And while you're turning there, I want to read a passage from John. Now, well, hold your place there and just stay there. Don't just hold your place. Stay there in Numbers chapter 20. I want to read you a passage because I want us to apply it to the text we're about to read. This is our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to Nicodemus. And he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. If I believe in him, then I am elect. Okay, now let's look at the passage. So Numbers chapter 21, beginning in verse 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass, now listen, that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass, that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. What we have here in this text is we have a bitten sinner. Sin runs in his veins. He is bitten and he is going to die. There is no hope until the Lord comes and makes an image like that serpent. And he puts it up on the pole. And every man that is bitten, when he comes and he looks at that brass, that brazen serpent, that man lives. Now that brazen serpent represents our Lord Jesus Christ. I've always wondered as a child, if I'm going to make an image of some sort of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not going to make a snake. That's almost sacrilegious, isn't it? But you know what that is a picture of? You know what this is a picture of in this book? He was made sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. So when I'm bitten with sin and I look to the Lord Jesus Christ, I see a substitute for sin. I see a substitute. Are you bitten? Come. Are you bitten? Look. There is your substitute. Do you want to make your calling and election sure? Your calling? Are you bitten? Are you elect? Are you looking? That is how we make our calling and election sure. Now, who cannot make their calling and election sure? Can everybody? No. Everybody can't make their calling and election sure. And I didn't realize this until actually I was reading the passages of Scripture. But who cannot? The person that says, I don't believe in election. You don't believe in God's electing grace, my friend. You cannot make your calling and election sure. Does that need any more explanation? You cannot. If you do not believe the word of God regarding the electing eternal love of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot make your election sure. And the scripture says, he that does shall never fail. You will fail. And then there is another that cannot make his election sure. And let me give you this in a summary, and we will look at one more passage. Be turning to Galatians chapter 5. There is another that cannot make his election sure. And it is he whom Paul, writing to the church of Galatians, he said to them, I stand in doubt of you. Paul wrote to a group, some men, and said, brethren, I stand in doubt of you. I stand in doubt of your salvation. Why? Because you have taken something and added it to Christ. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5, and let's read verses 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is come of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Look to Christ and nothing else. No works. Look to Christ. Look to Christ alone. And then I want to close by reading a passage of Scripture. If you will, turn with me to Revelation chapter 22, and it's the very last passage in the Word. The very last chapter. And we will close with this reading. Verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bride and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, if any man adds anything to Christ, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book, and if any man takes away from Christ, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. For the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.